In this episode of Startups for the Rest of Us, Rob and I are going to be talking about the three tenets of fulfillment at work. This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 359. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, the podcast helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at building, launching, and growing software products, whether you've built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Mike.
And I'm Mike's trusty sidekick, Rob.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. What's going on this week, Rob?
I've decided to just start throwing curveballs at you every week in the intros.
You totally messed me up there.
I know. Josh is going to edit out your,
got me all flustered.
Your fumble.
I don't care if he edits it out. We screw up the intros all the time. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, this is not a new thing. For me, things are going pretty well. I was bummed to miss Business of Software last week. Had to fly home with our kids, but I am getting geared up and pretty excited for the Zen Founder book that Sherry has been working on for months and months and months. I am a second author on that. And I have contributed stories and revisions and stuff, but she's been doing the brunt of the work, and it's turning out really, really well. So we still only have a tentative title. One title suggested by our son, which I thought was great, is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Keeping Your S asterisk T Together. And, you know, it's kind of appropriate. So it's about how to stay sane while running a business, a startup, and then even other types of businesses, because there's just stress involved, even if you're, you know, running any type of thing that's not a startup. So it's good. It pulls a lot from material she's talked about over the years. There's a lot of new material in it, and I think it's going to be good. And we're taking the tact of it's not an info product. I mean, it's going to be a book, you know, so it's going to be whatever it is, $25 or $30. And it's not going, you know, going to be this $99 or $200 thing. And she's going for more, you know, kind of larger audience, kind of like I did with my first book, Start Small, Stay Small. And that really served to get the message out to as many people as possible. So I'm stoked about it. And if that sounds interesting, you should head over to zenfounder.com. And there is a landing page for the book there where you can either pre-order it or even just sign up. You know, if you can't, for some reason you can't find it, there's a email capture widget in the lower right, a drip widget. You can enter your email, and certainly we'll be emailing the list once the book is available.
Awesome. I really like the working title, even though I know that it's not final, but I think that your son is a budding copywriter at work.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. When he said that, I was like, dang, well, A, don't say that word, but B, that is a really good idea. He's 11 years old, so he's right on that cusp where they start doing that stuff.
Yes, my kids are infatuated with any movie that has cuss words of any kind, and they just simply want to watch them over and over. Just like, you know, they just want to skip ahead to that, like, one part, so.
Yep. Yeah, it makes sense. How about you? You were at BOS this week.
Yeah, it was really good. I really liked a lot of the talks. Honestly, like, there was not a bad talk among them. Usually you'll go to conferences and, you know, there's one or two that are sort of interesting or, you know, kind of on the cusp of like, I could have done without this one. But I can't think of a single talk that I went to that was not fantastic. I mean, they were all really, really good. I was going through the survey afterwards and I was just like, 5, 5, 5. And then I got halfway through it and I was like, yeah, none of these sucked at all. So, yeah, I handed it in the survey as it was. But it was just an interesting experience to be there in front of all those people. And plus, Seth Godin was there. That was awesome. I got to ask him a direct question pertaining to Blue Tick. So got some direct advice there. So
yeah. Was that like after his talk, was he in the hallway or was he up on stage when you asked?
No, he was up on stage asking questions. And so I kind of explained to him the situation I was in and he gave me direct advice. He's like, yeah, just go do webinars based on the situation that you're in. So I don't know. It's definitely interesting. I mean, that's kind of on my list of things to do anyway, but that will probably percolate more to the top just because of source of the advice, I'll say.
Yeah, totally. That's cool. I'm glad to hear that it went well. Sherry said the same thing. She did a talk there that I heard was pretty well received as well. So she had a lot of good things to say about it. She had never been to Business of Software. And so she does have a frame of reference with some WordPress conferences. And obviously she's been to several microconfs. And she was just spoke very highly of the speakers as well as, you know, a lot of the attendees that she met. And there's enough overlap that she knew a bunch of people. She knows Jason Cohen and, you know, I know Mark Littlewood through me. And I think it was a really good thing for her to be at. And then we got to meet your wife.
Yes, finally. You know, she's not just a Photoshopped person on my Facebook page.
I'm starting to question if she was real. Yeah. You and I have known each other for 10 years or something, but we've never met the wife. And so you guys came out because we were in staying in Boston's North End over the weekend. And you guys came out. And what would we have? Cannoli and whiskey? Is that right? Cannolis and whiskey?
Yes. Yep.
That's a good combination.
Yeah, I don't know as I would go with, you know, too much of one or the other on any given night, but, you know, at least not together, I mean.
Yep. Yeah, if you have not had a cannoli in Boston's North End, you're missing out. So cool. What are we talking about today?
Well, today what we're going to be talking about is essentially a condensed version of a couple of slides that came out of Jason Cohen's talk from Business of Software. And so we'll link over to his blog. It's at blog.asmartbear.com. And this particular story or instance is not on his blog, but he talked a lot about what constitutes fulfillment at work. And again, this was just like a very, very small segment of his talk. Most of his talk was really about decision making and holding on to certain decisions too long, just not making them fast enough. And the example he threw out was, you know, letting somebody go. And he asked the entire room and said, is there anyone here who has fired too late? You waited too long to fire somebody, and tons of hands went up. And then he asked, hey, have you ever fired somebody too soon? And there might have been one person who half raised their hand, and that was it. And the reality is that, you know, when it comes to those types of decisions, his comment was that holding on too long is really a consistent, predictable failure of judgment. And so he talked through some of the different pieces of what constitutes fulfillment at work and how to make some of these decisions a little bit faster so that you can get your business to a better place. And that's not just for you or just for the business, but also for the employees or workers or contractors that you have inside of your business and helping them make sure that they're happy and productive. Because if you're happy with what you're doing, you're going to be naturally more productive at it as well.
The part I like about this is equally applicable to a founder, because it's really easy to stop being fulfilled as a founder. You build this business and you drive for revenue and you drive for these goals, and then you turn around one day and you're hating life and you're like, well, I built this whole thing and this sucks and I'm unhappy. So I think that's a really important thing. And that's obviously a lot about, you know, what Sherry and I talk about over on the Zen Powder podcast. But then this also applies to your people. And it's like, as soon as you have two or three people on a team, you have to start worrying about, you know, their well-being and whether they're happy and fulfilled. Because you can keep someone around for 6 or 12 months, but long term, they need to be fulfilled or they're going to burn out. They're going to quit. They're not going to be productive. This may sound like a topic, you know, if you're a hardcore entrepreneur, startup founder, or solopreneur, where you think, I don't need to worry about this stuff. You do, because you will burn yourself out. You will find yourself in the situation I have many, many times over the years where suddenly you look around and you're like, I have lost one of the elements that made me really happy. Knowing what those are for yourself is really important. In my MicroConf talk this year, I talked about my three, which are freedom, purpose, and relationships. And so whenever I've had only two of those three or one of the three, I find myself slowly slipping into like sadness and unhappiness with my work and my life. And so I get the feeling that there's going to be some similar type of magic in this talk. Jason Cohen always delivers. Every talk I've seen him give is typically one of the best, if not the best, at the conference he's giving it at. And so I actually don't know. I didn't see the talk. And so I'm interested to dive into what he had to say.
Yeah, the other thing I really liked about this talk was that when he was going through it, that kind of made me, I'll say, a little bit more aware of how this plays into the people that are working for you. Because it's very easy to kind of get stuck in the doldrums or trying to power through certain problems that you're having or certain challenges that you're facing and not really think about the people around you because you're so focused on the stuff that you're doing. And even though you might be unhappy, you kind of overlook the effect that not just you being unhappy has on other people, but also the effect that the work that they're doing has on them. And you can end up with a lot of churn based on the types of people that you hire, really related to the situations that you're putting them in. So it really made me think about that a little bit more. So let's dive right into it. The three things that he talked about on this slide were joy, skill, and he said need, but it really kind of meant business need in that context. And what he showed was essentially a Venn diagram of joy, skill, and business need. And if you see a classic Venn diagram of three different circles together, there's usually places where two of the circles overlap in three different places. And then in the center, you've got this one area that all three of them overlap. And that's the part that he referred to as the productive, happy fulfillment that everyone needs in their work environment. So if you're happy about the work that you're doing, joyful about it, and you're skilled at it, and the business needs it, then that puts you in a very happy, productive, and fulfilled place, and you're going to be able to do that stuff for a very, very long time. And by long time, I don't mean a few hours or days. I'm talking months and even years on end.
Got it. And so the business needs it. That means that you feel needed and wanted and like you are contributing towards the bottom line, right? Is that, that's the idea? It's that you're helping the business. Because I have seen people, I worked at large companies where there were people who were getting paid to do something they could do, but it didn't make a difference for the business. And they stuck around because the company was old and stodgy and whatever and didn't want to fire people. But those people were not very happy in their jobs, right? So that's that piece. And skill is pretty obvious, right? It means you have the ability or the attribute to get done what's being asked of you, right? It's like, build this application, write this code, and you know how to do it. What is joy? Go deeper into joy. Does that just mean doing that skill makes you happy?
So yeah, this was an interesting one because when he put it up there, it didn't quite make sense to me because I was like, well, isn't all of this joy? And what he really meant by joy was learning. Like, are you challenged doing this in a way that you are continually learning new things? So for example, the place where joy and skill overlapped was you're building an application, for example, and you're learning new things as you go along. So it's kind of past like the boilerplate stuff that you've always done in the past. You're doing architecture, you're figuring out how the different business layers of the application fit together and doing new things. So you're learning as you go through that process and you're skilled at programming. So the overlap of those two things is really where you end up in a flow state and your mind just kind of shuts off and you're just like, oh, this is a lot of fun. I'm having a good time doing this. And what I found really interesting about the way he phrased this was he's like, this is also a trap. And the reason it's a trap is because you're doing it because it's fun to learn, but the business doesn't necessarily need all of the different things that you're doing. You're probably doing a lot of things that aren't necessary for the business to succeed, but you're still having fun doing it. So you're able to focus on it for shorter periods of time. And that shorter period of time could be a few weeks or a couple of months. But if the business doesn't genuinely need that piece done, then 6 months out, the business hasn't moved forward, which means that it wasn't really needed for the business and things aren't going well. And then you become unhappy as a byproduct of not fulfilling needs of the business. So that's where the productivity really comes into play as well.
Got it. So joy is very similar to learning, but as long as you're learning things that the business still needs.
Yes,
correct. Is that the idea? Got it. So the three are joy, skill, and need or business need in this instance.
Right.
All right. I'm buying it. I like where we're at so far. What's next?
So the next one was kind of combining these, and I already talked a little bit about combining joy and skill to get into flow, but joy and business need is also an area where you can get into flow because you are learning new things and you know that the business needs it. So whatever the byproduct of that is, even if it's not necessarily something where you need to be skilled at it, if it's stuff that's helping to move the business forward, you feel some level of fulfillment by doing it. And you can get into that flow state because it's very easy to kind of power through a lot of that work. But at the same time, it is kind of a trap because you don't need a great deal of skill to do that stuff. You could outsource it. You could hand it off to somebody else. But you do it because it's fun. And you do it because the business needs it and it's going to move the business forward. But it's also a trap. It's very similar to the combination of joy and skill where you get into the flow state and it's very easy to find yourself continuing to do that. But eventually, you're going to be unhappy doing it because it's just not challenging you at all. It's not developing your skill set and it's not using the skills that you already have. It just gets boring.
I have a couple examples of this. When I had the e-commerce site, justbeachtowels.com, and I was so excited. It was still like a new business thing for me to be doing business, you know, online business full time. And this is, I'm trying to think, 2007, maybe. I guess I wasn't doing it full time yet, but I was, you know, starting to get away from consulting. And it was fun for me back then to like interact with the customers and be email support for an e-commerce website, which is pretty low, you know, pretty low skill need, right? It's not even like I was supporting software. It was like basic questions, but it was making me happy that I was interacting with customers and I was just enamored by the whole thing. And obviously the business needed it, but there was no skill involved, right? Or very low skill. So I did find that pretty soon I got a bored, and B, I didn't have enough time to do everything. So I outsourced that. The other thing I did is I was doing a lot of the kind of manual, there was manual copy paste, and there was, you know, some kind of fulfillment of orders, not physically packing them, but and interfacing with different software packages because they didn't talk to each other. And that was actually, interestingly enough, in a weird nerd alert way, was fun for me in the early days. Because it's like, man, I just got an order for $40. This is so cool for me to see it, participate in it, and to make sure that thing gets, you know, gets sent out. But again, is a very low skill activity. I think a lot of us do fall into this trap at one point or another and don't outsource stuff that we probably should, because if it is something you enjoy and the business needs it, it's easy to justify. But I understand why this is a trap, and it's something that really keep in mind as a founder, because you're the one that has to make the choice and make the recognition that this isn't something you should be doing, and then basically fire yourself from that task and hire someone else to do it.
And I think we can all think of a lot of examples that kind of fall into both of these different areas. But the last one I wanted to dig into was the combination of need and skill. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you are an attorney or even a business owner, and the business needs to have like a privacy policy. And you have to have some level of skill of interpreting human language in a way, or lawyer speak, so that you can put that together. And you can do that for a little while, but even if the business needs that, or even if it's like reviewing contracts because you're doing you've got a consulting company and you're working with a lot of people, that a lot of clients, and you need a custom contract for each one, you can do it because you're skilled at it, but eventually it really gets boring and you're not learning anything new. You're really just looking for all the gotchas that could be put into a contract that you need to pull out and renegotiate them with whoever is on the other side. And that's a very good example where the business needs it, you've got skill doing it, but eventually leads to burnout, because skill alone leads to toil. You're going to just be toiling away at something that is not fun because you're not learning anything new. And although the business needs it, it's not that much of a need, to be perfectly honest. It's one of those things where if down the road something became a problem, then it would probably show some sort of benefit. But if the engagement goes well, then it's not actually a business need. So that's really where the burnout factor comes into place. You can do it for a while, but not forever.
Yeah, this is where I think most founders eventually find themselves, is in then the need plus skill, and it's doing hard things that don't bring you joy. So you will find yourself doing a lot of operational work, or you'll find yourself hiring the lawyer to do the privacy policy and worrying about vacation days, or getting the health insurance signed up, or making sure the payroll ran, or just stuff that is enough skill or enough intricacy and knowledge that it's hard to train someone straight away to do that. And there's a desperate immediate need for it, but it doesn't bring you joy. And this is where, much like the joy plus need thing we talked about, where, you know, I talked about doing email support, you need to outsource that to somebody. That's where need plus skill, that quadrant, I guess, is one that is easily a trap, because especially for someone who is a technician and likes to get in and do things themselves, this is the easiest one to just get in and grind it out, and the business needs it and you have the skill and let's do it. And it works for a little while until it doesn't, and until you are unhappy and you don't like running your business anymore. And so this is when you need to take a step back. And even though it can be hard to train someone to do the things you've been doing, whether that is, you know, the operations of the business, whether that's still coding on your app when you're at 10 employees, whether that, you know, there's a bunch of things that this can fall into. But the further and further away you can get yourself from these things that don't bring you joy day to day, the better off and more longevity you're going to have.
The example of that Jason had given that kind of illustrates the idea of the combination of need and skill was also enterprise sales reps. His comment was, they don't really do this on the side after work. The business needs it, but it's not something that they go home and practice their negotiating skills or practice doing enterprise sales on the side. And Paul Kenny had commented on it in his talk afterwards. He's like, actually, we do think about this stuff and we do try to develop our skills, but, you know, I wonder how much a developer can relate to that situation. Because I think that classically we think of ourselves as developers, and we are willing to go home and work on code on the side and develop those skill sets. And to us, that's helpful because we're learning new things and doing stuff. I would imagine that sales reps, to some extent, do see that in the stuff that they do on the side. So to kind of sum up the different things that Jason had put together with joy, skill, and need, the intersection of all three of these things really creates a productive, happy fulfillment for somebody who's working there. And people will have different motivations. They have different skills. They have different things that make them happy. And it's important to realize that there has to be this balance that can be struck, not just for yourself, but for other people that are in your work environment to help them maintain this balance and end up in that situation where they are in that the three-pronged intersection between these three things to help them be able to push through certain things. And I think it's very easy to push through certain environments or challenges when you've only got one of these things or two of these things in play as an entrepreneur, but your employees and your contractors, they can do it for a little while, but probably not nearly as much as you because you have different motivations than they do.
And the best managers that I've seen are the ones that can spot that in other people and figure out their unique giftings, the things that they're good at and the things that are going to bring them joy. And it's two different things, right? Just because you can see that a developer is good at managing people, that developer may hate managing people. And to try to not to force them into things that are going to make them unhappy in the long term, which I've seen happen over and over, is a real needle that you have to thread as a founder or as a CEO or as someone who's going to manage other people. So it's keeping in mind, A, are they good at it? And obviously, you know, B, does the business need it? And then C, is this person going to enjoy it? And the only way you're going to figure that out is by knowing them better and by having conversations with them and trying it out and seeing if it does actually make them happy.
One of the traps that Jason had illustrated was the idea that it's very easy to, as the founder, put yourself in situations where you're doing the types of work that give you all three of these things, but then leaving other pieces of the project or other work for other people to do that doesn't necessarily fulfill them. And the example he used was, for example, doing all of the architecture work for software design and then leaving the stubs inside of the functions for other people to fill in the blanks. And that doesn't ever work. We kind of know intuitively that that doesn't necessarily work. But if you look at this particular framework, these three things that come into play, that's why it doesn't work. It's not just that you have to recognize that the situation doesn't work. You have to also understand why it doesn't work and be able to translate that to other types of projects in your environment.
So it sounds like the point of his talk was to drive home how you yourself can stay happy in the long term as a founder, and then how you can interact with employees, contractors, and other people you interact with to identify on these three axes how they can as well. Is that a good summary of it?
That's a really good summary of this particular tactic. What he was really referring to in the greater context of his talk was how to make difficult decisions faster and understand what people's motivations are for different things. You know, for example, looking at these things in the context of the problem that you're in and trying to figure out whether you need more information or you can just make a decision right now, and more about being kind to others and allowing them to work on things that are going to make them fulfilled. Because if you're taking all the fun work, for example, you're not going to have contractors working for you for very long or employees working for you for very long, and they're going to leave. They're just not going to be happy, or they're just not going to do their best work. And you really need to hold yourself accountable to the results of people and what it is that they're achieving in your environment. I mean, he had a kind of a thread that went through his entire talk about not just the decision-making for letting people go, but also making sure that you elevate yourself into a position where you're more of an editor and letting people do the things that they are really good at. And another piece of this was the whole aspect of making sure that you are hiring A players as opposed to hiring B players who are then going to hire C players.
Well, I think that about wraps us up for the day. If you have a question for us, call our voicemail number at 888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Startups and visit startupsfortherestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.